So we are just a couple weeks away from Christmas. How many of you are excited that it's almost here? Finally? Okay. How many of you are shocked that it's already here? Yeah. Isn't it funny how our perspective changes? Like when we're kids, we can't wait for Christmas, right? It feels like forever for it to finally get here. The last couple weeks of December are the longest weeks of the entire year, and it seems like it will never get here. But as adults, we're like, okay, we just got through Halloween. We barely survived Thanksgiving, and already it's that time of year again, and we got to pull out the decorations and do all this kind of stuff. It changes for us as we get older, right? But as kids, we learned that it's really hard to wait. And in fact, some of you right now are on the verge of a panic attack seeing what's on the screen here, right? Because you see that on your computer all the time, and it drives us crazy. If it takes more than 3 seconds for the web page to load, we're like calling tech support. We're throwing stuff. We're saying words we shouldn't say. We don't like to wait. It's hard for us to wait. And sometimes we try to take shortcuts, right? We try to do things to speed things up. Like how many of you, let me just take a quick poll. How many of you, when you were kids, you tried to find out where your parents hid the presents? How many of you, raise your hands, okay. How many of you, you found them, opened them, played with them, put them back afterwards? Yeah, how many of you found them, opened them, played with them, broke them? Had to explain yourself, Justin, I knew you would raise your hand. So yeah, we do that because it's hard for us to wait for things. But the thing about Christmas is, no matter how long it seemed to take, it always got here, right? This whole idea of waiting for something to happen and waiting specifically for Christmas, it didn't originate with us. It goes all the way back to the very first Christmas. People had to wait a long time for that first Christmas, but they didn't wait for days or weeks. They waited for decades. They waited for generations. Some of them waited for lifetimes for it to finally arrive, because way back in the beginning, God promised he would send the Messiah, a savior to come and to rescue mankind. And for many people, the process of waiting was too much for them. It became very disappointing and very discouraging. So for many people, they basically decided, you know what? It's not going to happen. God promised he was going to do this, and I don't see any evidence that he's actually doing it. So I'm out. I'm done. I don't believe God's promises because it's just not happening. And so a lot of people abandon the faith and turned away from God because it's hard to wait. But there was always a remnant. There was always a group of people who, in the middle of that culture, in the middle of that environment where so many were turning away from God, there was always a group of people who waited and believed that the Messiah would one day finally arrive and that God would keep his promises. And these were people who lived in obedience to God's word, lived in obedience to God's truth, because they believed God is faithful. Even though I see no evidence of it, I'm going to choose to believe that God is faithful and God will keep his promises. Today, we're going to take a look at two people who were a part of that group that waited and trusted and hoped and believed. And here's why this is relevant for us. At some point in your life, if you've not already experienced it, I can promise you, you will. At some point in your life, you go through these times where God is so silent and God is so seemingly inactive that you begin to ask the question, do I really believe this stuff? Is it really worth it? Why am I doing this, trying to obey God and trying to live the life that he calls me to live? Why am I going to church and giving and serving and getting involved and reading his word and praying and waiting and trusting and hoping? Why am I expecting that God's going to show up and that God's going to do something in my life when I have no evidence that he's actually going to do that? And all of us go through those times when life is challenging and we're waiting for something to happen and we're not sure it's going to, and we lose faith. It's hard. Because there are seasons in our lives where in our attempts to do the right thing, we start to wonder, is it really worth it or not? And if you're struggling with those questions, facing those doubts, the Christmas story is for you. Today we're going to take a look actually at the story before the story. Something that happens that paves the way for the Christmas story to take place. We're in Luke chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to start in verse 5. Here's what it says. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. So we have a husband and wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they come from a long line of preachers, right? His dad and her dad, they're both involved in the ministry, and not only dad, but granddad and great-granddad and great-great. So they grew up hearing all these promises. They grew up learning the word of God and trusting and believing and hoping that the Messiah would one day arrive. That's how they were raised. And it goes on and it says this. It says Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. That's an amazing statement. Righteous in God's eyes. In other words, when God looked at their lives, he said, they're doing it right. They're living life the way I intended people to live their lives. They're being obedient to me. And in fact, it says they were careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. That's a huge statement. All of his commandments and regulations. And if you've ever read through the Old Testament, you know that's a lot. Like there's a lot in there. And there's entire sections of the Bible that we skip over because it's so tedious and so complex. And we're like, really, God wants me to do this and live this way and make this decision? And it says they did those things. So here's this couple who are faithful to God. They're living a life that honors him. They're living a life that God looks at and says, I'm pleased with what they're doing, with how they're living life. And they're waiting for God to fulfill his promise. They're trusting and believing that God is going to do exactly what God said he would do. Even though there's no evidence telling them that this is actually going to happen, they still chose to believe it. So you look at this and you would think, okay, so these guys are doing the right thing. They're obeying God. God must be doing some really amazing things in their lives, right? Like God must be really blessing them and rewarding them because they're doing good things. And when we do good things for God, he's supposed to do good things for us too, right? Well, take a look at what it says in verse 7. It says they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive and they were both very old. So let's get this straight. Here's this couple who's doing the right thing. They're serving God. They're obedient to God. They're making good choices. They're serving. They're sacrificing. They love God. They trust him. They believe in him. And yet this God that they're so faithful to won't even answer a simple prayer like giving them children. And beyond that, it says they're old now. This is especially hard for Elizabeth because in those days and in that culture, women had no standing whatsoever. Women had no political power whatsoever. And if you were a woman who was unable to have kids, the general idea in culture was people would look down on you and judge you that, well, there must be some horrible sin in your life and God is punishing you for that. And that's why you can't have kids. And Elizabeth lived with this pain into her old age. And for years, we're about to find out a few verses later, they had prayed the desperate prayers of any couple who wants to have kids. And God had seemingly done nothing in answer to those prayers. So you could look at this couple and say, okay, listen, you guys are believing God for a promise he made thousands of years ago. It's a myth. Like if God was going to keep a promise as big as sending a savior for mankind, don't you think he could at least answer a simple prayer that you two have prayed for decades and you've been faithful? If God won't even do that, do we really think God's going to do something much bigger that we see no evidence for? Just give it up. Just walk away. Just retire and live out your years as best as you can because God has clearly abandoned you. And if you were to say that to Zechariah and Elizabeth, it would make sense, wouldn't it? But if you would say that to Zechariah and Elizabeth, it would be completely wrong. The reason Luke opens his book with this story is because the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth was the beginning of something amazing. These two people, we know very little about them. We read about them in this passage, and there's not much else that we find out about them throughout the rest of Scripture. So they're kind of nobodies in all of Scripture. And God uses these two people, though, to begin a process of putting things into place to fulfill his promise that will have an impact for thousands of years to come on all of humanity. And again, this story is important for us because there are moments and there are seasons when we ask the question, is God even listening to me? Does God even see what I'm going through? Does God even care? Does it matter to him? All these prayers I prayed, was I just wasting my breath? Or is God even there? And the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth tell us that the resounding answer to those questions is yes, God does see, he does hear, he does know. So let's take a look at what happens next. Verse 8. It says, one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. So they had 23 groups of priests, and they would decide by casting lots, kind of like rolling dice. They would decide which priest would be the high priest, which priest would go into the holy place and offer sacrifices. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And it was an honor to be chosen because they believed that God was the one who directed, that God was the one who determined the outcome of that. So God handpicked the person to go in to offer sacrifices. And so Zechariah is now an old man, and he finally gets his opportunity to be the one to go in to this holy place and offer these sacrifices. So he goes in, and it says, while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Now, I cannot emphasize enough the significance of what happens next. What happens next literally changes history. For a few hundred years up to this point, God had been completely silent. When we look in the scriptures, we see a lot of stories, right, of God speaking through prophets, God speaking directly to people, angels appearing to people, miracles happening. We see God saying a lot of things to mankind. We see God very active in human history. We see God doing a lot of stuff throughout the scriptures. But in the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were a few hundred years where God was completely silent and none of that was happening at all. And people were beginning to wonder, has God abandoned us? Did God like remove himself from human history? Are we completely on our own? Because God was silent. And all of that was about to change in one moment in time. So Zechariah is in the holy place. He's offering sacrifices. And here's what happens in verse 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." Now, this is kind of the standard angel response, right? We'll just go ahead and get this out of the way. Don't be afraid. I'm not here to kill you. It's going to be okay, right? That's kind of the first thing angels say when they appear to people, because when people first see them, they're terrified. Like, the way our culture portrays angels is not anything close to how the Bible portrays them. Our culture portrays angels as these chubby little babies with tiny little wings floating around playing harps in the clouds, right? That's not how the Bible portrays angels at all. The Bible portrays angels as these powerful, massive, imposing beings. Many times they're standing there holding flaming swords. So they're kind of scary even when they're not trying to be scary. And so some of the examples you read about in the scriptures where an angel appears to somebody, immediately they're on their face before this angel, worshiping this angel because they think they're seeing God. Daniel talks about seeing an angel, and he says that when it happened to him, he was literally frozen in fear, like he could not move. There's another story of a guy where it says that he was shaking uncontrollably because of the fear that he experienced when he had this encounter with an angel. And here was Zechariah. It says he was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. You ever been there? You ever had been so fearful of something that you were like literally shaking and overwhelmed? Like, that's not just a jump scare. Like, he sees an angel. Like, "Oh, I didn't see you there. Hi, my name." No, he's freaking out, right? And so the angel has to say, "Calm down. It's okay. I'm not here to hurt you. I have a message from God." And again, this is a turning point in history. Because for hundreds of years, nobody had heard anything from God. And now God sends an angel to this man, Zechariah, with a message that will affect not only him and his family, but all of humanity. So take a look at the next verse, verse 13. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John." Now, in case you're wondering, this John, this is the famous John. This is John the Baptist. This is the guy who would tell people before Jesus revealed himself, who would tell people who Jesus was. He's the guy who's out there in the wilderness preaching to the masses and baptizing people by the thousands. He was the one who paved the way for the arrival of Jesus. That's this John. This is where the whole story begins. And what's amazing about this is the angel tells him not only this message that affects all of mankind, but notice how personal this is too. God has heard your prayers. What an amazing thing to hear. God sends an angel to this man, Zechariah, to tell him, "Your prayers have not gone unnoticed. I know you've been praying for a long time. You've been waiting for a long time and you haven't seen anything happen. But I am here to tell you, your prayers have not gone unheard. You have not wasted your breath. God hears your prayers. The God of the universe is up to something amazing and you're about to see it happen. And some of you here today, there's things you've been praying for a long time, and maybe you just need to be reminded. You just need to hear God whisper to you, I've heard your prayers. You're not alone in this. I'm with you. I haven't abandoned you. I hear you, and I see what's happening in your life. So the angel says, God has heard your prayers, and then he says this. He says, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. Why? Because so many had turned away from God. Because they got tired of waiting. They face the same thing that you and I face. When we wait and we don't see God working, when we pray and we don't see the answers to those prayers, it's hard for us to keep waiting and to keep hoping and to keep trusting. And over this period of waiting and waiting and praying and hoping and watching and not seeing anything, many people had turned away from God. And God sends John the Baptist and God sends an angel to Zechariah. Why? To remind them, I have not forgotten you. So they would know that the silence of God did not equal the absence of God. That in all of that time of waiting, God was putting things into place for his plan to happen. See, even when you and I turn away from God, he doesn't turn away from us. No matter what's happening in your life, and no matter where you are right now spiritually, God is pursuing you. And he does it in so many different ways. Sometimes it's through a verse of scripture that we come across, and it's exactly what we needed to hear. Sometimes it's that conversation we have with a friend, and it's so encouraging and it's so insightful, and it gives us just the direction and the help that we need. Sometimes it's a song that we hear. It just ignites something inside of us, and it encourages us and gives us new hope and new life. Sometimes it's those things that just interrupt our lives, interrupt the busyness of our lives, and force us to slow down and force us to stop. Many times those things, they're not coincidences. That's God stepping in and allowing things to come into our lives to get our attention. Why? Because he's calling us back to himself. He's reminding us, you are not alone. I'm here. I have something that I'm doing in your life. There's something I want to say to you. See, you matter to him. And he is pursuing you, whether you realize it or not. And the arrival of John the Baptist would be a reminder to God's people, I've not stopped listening to you. I've not stopped hearing your prayers. There's something I'm up to, and you're about to see it happen. So an angel tells Zechariah, remember, Zechariah is an old man. An angel says, you and your wife, you're going to have a baby. Zechariah has some questions, right? As all of us would. Like how? How is this going to happen? And so now we have to start buying three packages of diapers instead of just two, right? Sorry, that was inappropriate. Anyways, so he asks this question that all of us would ask. Some of you haven't gotten that yet. It's okay. Let's go to verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, I know, I'm sorry. I apologize. Sorry, Facebook. If I don't get banned again. Okay. So... So Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? That's a question any of us would ask, right? How can I be sure this is really going to happen? He says, I'm an old man now, and my wife, I think he kind of pauses here, right? My wife is well along in years, right? I'm an old guy, and I don't know if she's going to hear about this. I hear these things get written down and people read about them. So I'm just going to say she's well along in years, right? Very diplomatic, very safe. So in other words, he's asking a question all of us would ask. He's saying, okay, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming here and telling me this. I'm glad God heard my prayers, but I'm thinking you're a little bit late. What took you so long? Like, did your GPS get broken? Did you get lost along the way? We've been praying for this since we were in our 20s, and now you're saying we're going to have kids? It's too late. It's not going to happen. And he asked the question that any one of us would ask. And the angel, we're about to find the angel's name. Find out the angel's name is the angel Gabriel. You've heard of Gabriel, right? He's mentioned in the Bible. This is where we first meet him. And the angel has a response to him. So Zechariah says, how can I know this will really happen? Look at the response here, verse 19. Then the angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. In other words, he's saying, what do you mean? How do you know it's going to happen? You're talking to an angel. Like literally 5 seconds ago, I was standing next to God in heaven. Now I'm standing here talking to you. You're talking to an angel and you're wondering, could God possibly do the miraculous? And let's be honest, we're there too sometimes, aren't we? Aren't there times where we say, I'll trust God if only God will do fill in the blank. I believe that God's real if only God would fill in the blank. Whatever test we have for him, whatever request we have of him, then I'll believe God. If he just does this next thing for me, then I'll believe that it's real. When the truth is, we have so many reminders and so much evidence all around us every day of God's love and God's presence and God's power and God's faithfulness. And just like Zechariah, here he is literally standing face to face with an angel asking the question, really, could God really do something impossible and miraculous? And the truth is, we struggle with those same doubts and questions as well, don't we? And again, much of it comes from those times when we are praying and hoping and waiting and we don't see it happening. And so Zechariah asks this question and Gabriel responds. And then notice what Gabriel says next. This is significant. He says, but now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. Notice this. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. My words will certainly, with assurance, 100% guarantee, no doubt, this will happen at the proper time. Some translations say at the appointed time. The word literally means at the time God has set. In other words, God put this on the calendar. You mean God chose a date and said, on this date, at this moment in history, Elizabeth will conceive. And on this date, at this moment in history, she will give birth to John. And on this date, at this moment in history, Mary will conceive. And on this date, she will give birth to Jesus, the Messiah. In other words, God had it planned all along. Through all of those years of people wondering and questioning and doubting and unsure if God was really going to do what God said he was going to do, God had a plan in place. And he was reminding them, God never stopped paying attention to them. He never stopped listening to their prayers. He was reminding them, even though he had been silent, he was not absent. It would happen at the appointed time. In other words, there is a plan and there is a time. And that time of waiting didn't mean God had stopped working. What it meant was there was an appointed time when that work would find its fulfillment. And Zechariah saw the fulfillment of that work. In just the next couple of verses, look at verse 23. It says, when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. And soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. God did the impossible. But that was just the beginning. This is just chapter one. This is just God letting his people know that he was gearing up to do what he had promised thousands of years before he was going to do. What those who had trusted and waited and believed for year after year after year and prayed for and hoped for, this is God letting them know, I'm here. I haven't forgotten my promises and I haven't forgotten you. I have been at work in your life and I have been at work on this and you're about to see me show up in a really big way. And the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth says to us in those times when we are wondering and struggling and doubting, it says to us that even when God is silent, God is not absent. He's not distant. He hasn't forgotten about us. He hasn't given up on us. He's waiting too, just like us. He's waiting for the appointed time that he has chosen for it to happen. And so this story concludes, but the next story begins. The next couple of verses jump ahead 6 months. Elizabeth is pregnant, and now 6 months into her pregnancy, here's what happens. Verse 26, In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. This is Gabriel, the same angel. The same angel who appeared to Zechariah and said, God has heard your prayers. Who appeared to Zechariah and said, there is an appointed time. I know it feels like forever, but there is a time when it will happen. And that same angel appears to Mary and says this in verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And this story is so important for us, especially in those times when we're asking the question, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing, but it's hard. It's costly to do the right thing. I'm doing everything I can to trust God, to believe God, to obey God, to serve God, and things aren't working out the way I hoped they would. And I look around me and I see all these other people doing the wrong thing. They don't care what God thinks, and their life seems to be working out just fine. I'm doing all the work here, and where is God in all of this? What do we do with those questions? Do we choose to continue believing and trusting and hoping and praying and watching and waiting? Do we choose to believe that God somewhere, somehow, has a plan and has a purpose and live our lives for that? Or do we abandon all of that and go off and do our own thing because it leads to instant gratification where we don't really have to wait for anything? See, if you're struggling with those kind of questions, if you're wrestling with that kind of doubt, here's the good news. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's normal. Asking those kind of questions and not just abandoning those questions, but digging in and having those conversations with God. It's part of the process of learning how to really trust him, how to really grow deep in our faith. It's normal. But here's the thing. We have to come to a point of decision at some point when we're asking those questions. And the challenge is this. Will you be one of those who is part of the remnant? Will you be one of those unique individuals who chooses to be faithful to God, even when it's hard? Who says, I don't see any evidence of it. I don't see it happening. God's not coming through the way I hoped he would, but I'm choosing to still believe him, to still trust him, to keep praying, to keep asking, and to not give up. I'm going to keep my focus on him and obey him and follow him, even when it's hard. And if you make that decision, the Christmas story, the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, is a reminder to us that your faith in God is not in vain. That just because God is silent, that does not mean God is absent. Could I encourage you, if you're struggling with those kind of doubts, if you're struggling with those kind of questions, could I encourage you to have that conversation with God? Just like Zechariah, you may just need to hear God reassure you. I've heard your prayers. I know it's hard. I know it's challenging and I know it's painful, but I want you to know your prayers have not gone unnoticed. The God of the universe hears you. Or maybe just like Zechariah, you need to hear from God. There is an appointed time. I know you're waiting. I know it feels like forever, but I'm letting you know there is a time. We're not there yet, but that time of the fulfillment of that promise, it is coming. Some of you need that reassurance in your hearts. But I have to remind you, Zechariah had this encounter when he was alone with God. Away from the busyness and the noise and the distractions. And can I say very honestly and very lovingly, I think many times we cry out to God and we say, God, I need to hear you. I need wisdom. I need direction. Why aren't you telling me anything? Why won't you speak to me? And God is saying, I am speaking to you, but your life is so filled with noise and busyness. You go from one thing to the next with no margin, with no space. We don't even hear his voice, even though he's speaking to us. And so I want to encourage you, take some time, carve out some space in your life, not just today, not just this week, but as a regular practice, carve out some space in your life where you can get alone with God and have those conversations, talk to Him, be honest with Him, and listen to what He has to say to you. Because whatever you're going through right now, I can promise you, He has something to say to you, just like He did to Zechariah. So, Father, I want to thank You this morning that in our times of waiting and struggling, we're not alone. You're there. You're at work. And there are things that You have to say to us. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to Your voice, to receive what You have to say to us. And I do pray this morning for those who are struggling with this issue, God, that You would restore joy and hope. I pray, Father, that You would help them to hear Your voice clearly, to know what You're saying and how You're leading, to hear those words of reassurance and strength and comfort and encouragement that they desperately need right now. And Father, I do pray for those who have been praying and waiting and hoping and trusting for so long. God, I pray that the day of breakthrough will come soon, that we will see those answers, that we will see Your work. I thank You for Your faithfulness to us, Lord. You are good, and we worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.